Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now today we're going to talk about vain believers. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to notice in verse 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, let's go back up to verse 2. It says, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." So I ask people, what's a vain believer? And a lot of people say, oh, it's somebody that doesn't believe. No, that's not a vain believer. A vain believer believes. They really do. Now, there's three kinds of believers out there. There is a non-believer, there is a vain believer, and there is a true believer. And we're going to talk about all three. Now, a non-believer is someone that just flat out doesn't believe. You talk to them about God, they say, well, I don't believe in God. Or you might talk to them about Jesus Christ, they might say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Or they might believe about Jesus Christ, but they don't believe He died and paid for sins. Okay? So a non-believer doesn't believe something, one or another. But a person that believes in vain, they believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, they believe He died and paid for sins, all right, but they're not saved because they haven't put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch, let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, the Lord's teaching us a parable. I want you to notice in verse 9, the Bible says, "And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others." Now I want you to notice here in verse 9 it says, "which trusted in themselves." Now here's the big question. Who are these people trusting in? Are they trusting in God? No. Are they trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Who are they trusting in? The Bible says, "which trusted in themselves." So these people are trusting in themselves. They aren't trusting in the Lord. Now watch. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, your Pharisee would be your religious leader of the day, okay? Your publican would be your sinner. Verse 11, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So we have a perfect example here about people that are trusting in themselves. This Pharisee, he thought he was good enough, and he had put all his trust in himself, and he told God, he says, look, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all I possess. Now, did this guy believe in God? Yes, he did. But did he get justified? No. But what about the publican? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did God do? He justified the man. Why? Well, the sinner, the publican, he put his trust in God, okay? He was relying upon God. He wasn't relying upon himself. Now, a lot of people out there are relying upon their works or things they have done, like baptism or such. We'll get into that in a minute. But right now, I want you to understand about trusting in yourself and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 12, the Bible says, "that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ." in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I want you to understand a difference between believing and trusting. All right? The word believe means to acknowledge something to be true. Now, if I tell you the grass is green outside, you can say, yeah, that's true, or you can say, yeah, that's not true, or no, that's not true. Okay? So to believe something is to acknowledge something to be true or not. But to trust in something or trust in someone is to rely upon that thing or rely upon that someone. So the Bible tells us here about trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once again, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So can you believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God, believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for sins, and still wind up in hell? Yes, you can. How? Well, by relying upon yourself, relying upon your works, relying upon the things you did. Not everybody is going to go into heaven that believes in Jesus Christ. Now watch. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, notice in verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what we have here is we have scripture that shows us that everybody that says Jesus, Jesus, or Lord, Lord, is not going to have eternal life. The Bible says you have to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now watch, let's go on. All right, I want you to go back to... let's go to back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 again. Notice in verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So once again, we're talking about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people out there, they trust in different things. Now, for instance, I've gone up to some people and asked them, are you saved? And they say, yeah, I'm saved. Well, I ask them a question. Well, how did you get saved? All right. And they say, well, I got water baptized. All right. Instead of saying, well, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, they say, well, I got baptized when I was a little boy. All right. I've had people tell me, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I've received the Holy Spirit. I'm full with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. Or I've had people tell me, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I keep the Ten Commandments and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of people out there, they're trusting in something else besides Jesus Christ. They're not trusting in Jesus Christ. They're trusting in their works or something they might have done, or going to a particular church, or that's where they put their trust in. That's what they're relying upon, okay? But that's not where salvation comes from. A lot of people say, well, I know Jesus Christ died and paid for sins, all right? For instance, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Notice in verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And I've had a lot of people tell me, well, yeah, I know I'm saved because I believe the gospel. I said, you believe the gospel, huh? Well, let me tell you a story. I was born and raised, my mom and daddy brought me to church, okay? And in this church, behind the altar thing, they had a crucifix up there, a cross with a man hanging on it, and they told me all the time about that guy hanging on that cross. His name was Jesus Christ, and he died for the sins of the world. So, you better be good so you can have eternal life. And that's what they told me. Okay? Now, I had believed that Jesus Christ died and paid for sins, but I was relying upon my own works and the things that I did for my salvation. I found out I wasn't good enough to get saved. All right? So I ended up trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But a lot of people, they'll say, well, I believe the gospel. Okay? Now, is the gospel according to the scriptures? Yes, it is. Now, watch. Let's go to the book of John. All right? I want you to go to John. Let's see. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, there's a lot of people out there that thought that believing the scriptures or knowing the scriptures, okay, that they would have eternal life. Well, this is what Jesus said. Now watch. Notice in John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." So what we have here is we have the Lord Jesus Christ telling us right off the bat here, he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." So there's a lot of people out there that are putting their trust in the scriptures. They say, well, I'm putting my trust in the scriptures. I believe the scriptures. So I must be going to heaven. All right? Because why? Well, I believe the scriptures. I know the gospel. Christ died for sins, was buried, and rose again. I must be saved. I know the gospel. All right? Jesus Christ said, "Search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life." He says, "And they are they which testify of me." Don't you know that this Bible, the Holy Scriptures are right here, they testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tell you about Jesus Christ, and they tell you about what he did. All right? He says, "But you won't come to me that you might have life." People, the scriptures can't save you. All right? You've got to have a Savior in order to be saved. The Scriptures tell you about Jesus Christ. The Scriptures lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You can believe all the Scriptures you want and still not have a Savior. All right? There's a lot of people out there that believe the Bible. Okay? But they don't have a Savior. They're trusting in their works. They're trusting in their religious denomination. They're trusting in their water baptisms or whatever. Okay? And that's what they're trusting in, but they're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now watch. Let's go on. All right? Now, I want you to understand we're in John, the book of John. Let's go to, I tell you what, let's go to John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. All right? Now watch. John chapter 14, I want you to notice in verse 6, the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So how do you get to the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you get to the Father? You get through to the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes from, through, and by the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot bypass Jesus Christ and get to the Father, but many people have tried. Now, a lot of people out there, they're relying upon the law, doing the works of the law, okay? They say, well, if I do the commandments, God should let me into heaven. All right? Many, many, many people are like this, okay? I talked to a man one time, and he said, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I believe I am because I keep the commandments. He says, I keep the Ten Commandments. I said, oh, really? I said, what are they? Name them for me. He goes, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not... And he thought, and he thought, and he thought, and he could only name three of them. And I said, sir, I said, if you only know three of the Ten Commandments, I said, how do you know you're keeping the other seven? Okay, and he thought about that. And he said, that's a good question. Okay? So a lot of people out there, they're trusting in keeping the law. They're trusting in how good they are. And they say, well, if I keep the Ten Commandments, God will save me. That's not true, people. Watch. Let's go to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2. All right. In Galatians chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So people, what we have here is we have Scripture saying no flesh will be justified by doing the works of the law. It's not going to happen, people. All right, now some people out there, they're trusting in the law. And they'll say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I really think that I need to keep the law to be saved. Okay? Well, the Bible says we're not under the law today. We're under grace. Now watch. I want to show you. Now, if you're out there and you're relying upon the law to save you, now watch what happens. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Notice in verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Watch verse 4. Very important. Put your eyes up on the screen here. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Okay? Now, if you're expecting to be justified by doing the works of the law, the Bible says that Christ is become of no effect unto you whatsoever. Okay? That precious blood He shed at Calvary has no effect on you if you are relying upon the law for your justification. All right? The Bible says you are fallen from grace. Okay? So you cannot be justified by doing the works of the law. The Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, all right, unto the believer. So what we have here is we've got Scripture that tells us you can't get saved by doing the works of the law. It ain't going to happen, people. You got to have a Savior. And there was only one given. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, I want you to go to, let's go to 1st John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, I want to show you something very, very simple. All right? 1 John chapter 5, notice in verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. All right, question for you. Before we go on, I want you to read this verse again. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, question. Does it say eternal life is in the Ten Commandments? No. Does it say eternal life is in water baptism? No. Does it say eternal life is in speaking in tongues? No. Where is eternal life? Eternal life is in His Son. His Son's name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot bypass Jesus Christ, people. You've got to have a Savior. There's only one given. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, you can believe on Jesus Christ and trust in your works and how good you are, or trust in the law how good you are, and guess what? You're not going to be saved. Jesus Christ will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now watch, let's go on. Now, 1 John chapter 5, I want you to notice in verse 12 now. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, now this is very simple. If you've got the Son of God, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have eternal life. Now, is that simple or what? Okay? You couldn't miss this if you tried. One more time, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay? If you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life. That's plain and simple, people. But yet there are people out there, and there's churches out there, and denominations out there. They teach all kind of stuff in order to be saved. Do the works, keep the commandments, get baptized, speak in tongues, all this kind of stuff. And they won't tell you, well, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now watch verse 13. You know, I've asked people, are they saved? Mister, are you saved? Well, you never know until you go. And they think, well, you got to die first before you can know that you're going to have eternal life. Well, that's not true. Okay? God wants you to know that you have eternal life. People, I know I have eternal life. God tells me He wants me to know I have eternal life. And you know what? That's a real good feeling knowing that you're going to have eternal life. Now watch. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. All right? Now, so what we have here is we got Scripture that God says that ye may know that you have eternal life. People, do you know that you have eternal life? I mean, are you absolutely, positively sure you know it in your mind, you know it in your heart, you know it in your soul, all right, that you're going to have eternal life? God wants you to know. He wants you to fully understand that He is giving you eternal life. Why? Because you put your trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now watch. Let's go on. Now, I want you to go to Romans. Some people say, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. Well, people, there's nobody out there good enough to be saved. All right? That's why we all need a Savior. All right? Now watch. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So people, we're all in the same boat. I've met people that were so down with themselves, you know, they say, well, ain't no way God can save me because I'm such a bad person. I'm such a bad sinner. People, you're not the worst sinner that ever was. All right? You may tell you who the worst one that ever was. All right? Watch this. All right? Let's go to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1. Now I want you to notice in, let's just go straight to verse 15 and then we'll back up. Verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Now this is written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Timothy. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All right, so what we have here is we have the Bible telling us who the chief of sinners is. Okay, who is the chief of sinners? The Apostle Paul claims that he is the chief of sinners. All right, you know, I always tell people, I said, man, look, I feel so bad because of my miserable, wretched self and my sinful ways and all this kind of stuff. I feel like I'm the chief of sinners. But Paul says that's him. Okay, he's the chief. And I always tell people, well, I must be second in command if he's chief then, because that's the way I feel sometimes. Now, why did the Apostle Paul call himself the chief of sinners? Do you know what he has done? If you go back in Acts chapter 9, you will see in Acts chapters 7 and 8, you will see that the Apostle Paul was going around killing people and putting them in jail and this kind of stuff for the simple reason is they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He went around persecuting the church, and he was injurious to the church. Now, I want you to back up. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to notice in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15 again, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. People, listen to me. Have you ever killed somebody because they believed in Jesus Christ? Have you ever beat up somebody because they believed in Jesus Christ? Have you ever had somebody thrown in jail because they believed in Jesus Christ? Well, this man has. You know, if I didn't tell you this, and I'd have told you there's some people out there that was doing that kind of thing, and you say, well, surely that man's going to go to hell. He's going around beating up people because they believe in Jesus. And he's going around killing people because they believe in Jesus. And putting them in jail just because they believe in Jesus. Surely that person's going to go to hell. But this man right here, God took him and made him the apostle of the Gentiles. People, this is salvation by grace. God will save you today. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the things that you've done or with the things that you've said or anything like that. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be saved right now, today, on the spot, okay? By trusting Christ as your Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary. Now, some people understand, they say, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. Well, that's a good thing. Now, on the other side, okay, of the fence, there's people out there that say, oh, well, I don't sin, all right? I don't really need a Savior. Only sinners need Saviors, okay? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know there are people out there that actually say they don't sin? Now watch. Let me show you something, all right? Let's go back to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 8, okay? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the Bible says here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, okay? Now, if you're out there today and you say, well, I'm not a sinner. I don't sin. Well, you're deceiving yourself. That's all you're doing. Don't you understand that? Okay? God looks upon you and He says, well, you're just as big a sinner as anybody else. But there are people out there that say, no, I don't sin. All right? That's nothing but pride. Okay? Don't you know that most of the things that you do with your mind, okay, or most of the sins you do, rather, they are with your mind, all right, like hatred and wrath, all right, and seditions and heresies and all that kind of stuff. It all starts up right here, people. All right? Most of the sins you do are with your mind. All right. People say, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, you know, and that kind of thing. They think they don't sin, but yet they hate their brother. Okay? That's a sin too, people. Now watch. Notice in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, people, watch this. If we say that we have not sinned, right now, if you say, well, I haven't sinned, well, the Bible says here, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. So in other words, what you're doing, you say, I haven't sinned. You're calling God a liar is what you're doing. Okay? Because God looks down upon you and He says, you're a sinner. And you look up and you say, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You're calling God a liar, people. Don't do that. All right? Acknowledge you're a sinner. All right? And that you need a Savior. And trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All right? Now watch. Let's go on. All right. Now today, I want you to understand that God is saving the bad and the good today. All right. I want you to notice in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, all right, I want you to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, a lot of people think that God is only saving righteous people. And this is the people that say, oh, well, you got to be good in order to be saved. You got to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. And this is how they end up trusting in their works, okay? Because they believe that if you live a righteous life, you know, you don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, and don't hang around with them that do, then God will let you into heaven, all right? Now watch, let me show you something. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, notice in verse 1 it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now I want you to notice here in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now, if you don't do any works for the Lord, none whatsoever, all right? But you still believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that your faith is counted for righteousness. And it says here, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Well, who is justifying the ungodly? Well, God is doing that. If you put your trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to justify you. It doesn't matter whether you're ungodly or not. Okay? God is justifying the ungodly. Now watch, Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, notice in verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So what we have here is we have more scripture. All right, that Christ died for the ungodly. God can save you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, God will save you. All right, that's the way He made it. Now watch in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what we have here is we have scripture that tells us, no matter whether you're ungodly, you're bad, good, or whatever, okay, Christ died for you, and you put your trust in Christ, you will be saved. God will justify you for Christ's sake. All right? Now watch. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 22. All right? In Matthew chapter 22, I want you to notice in verse 1. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, it says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that which were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, people, we are living during the dispensation of the grace of God today. God today, as you notice here, is saving the bad and the good, okay? Paul says that he was the chief of sinners. We have scripture telling us that God is justifying the ungodly, and now he's calling both the bad and the good to the wedding. So under grace, okay, God is saving even ungodly people, okay? It doesn't matter what you've done, or what you're planning to do, okay? You still need a Savior, all right? Now watch, let's go on. All right, I want you to go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Now, there's a lot of people out there that can't figure out why they do such bad things, okay? They say, well, you know, I asked Jesus Christ to save me, but I think I'm saved. I mean, I trust Christ as my Savior, but I do such bad things. Why do I do these bad things? Well, I'm about to show you, people. Watch. All right, go to Romans chapter 7. Now, what we're doing here, we're going to Romans chapter 7. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, okay? The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, all right? Well, he gave it to somebody. Somebody wrote it down for him. But anyway, this is the Apostle Paul talking. I want you to notice in verse 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, I want you to understand, we're talking about the Apostle of the Gentiles. We're talking about the Apostle Paul here, y'all. This was a servant of God if there ever was one. Now, watch. Verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So, question. Can you be saved like the Apostle Paul, have the Holy Spirit like the Apostle Paul, and still do bad things because of the sin that's in you like the Apostle Paul? Well, of course. Okay? This is what Paul is trying to tell you. Now, I'm going to tell you people right now, this man right here, Apostle Paul, runs circles around any of us, okay, when it comes to serving the Lord. But yet, he still had problems in the flesh. Okay? They got some of these people out there, these goody-two-shoes people, you know, that say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, or you're going to hell. If you smoke a cigarette, you're going to hell. You drink a beer, you're going to hell. All that kind of silly stuff. Okay? And they try to tell people, oh, if you do that, you're lost, you're going to hell. And what happens is they're the ones that are trusting in their works. Okay? They're the ones that are trusting in how good they are. All right? Instead of putting your trust in Jesus Christ, admitting you're a sinner, that you're no good, that you're rotten to the core, all right, and trusting Christ as your Savior, these people say, well, I don't sin, I don't do this, I don't do that, and you shouldn't either, because you're going to go to hell if you do. All right? That's not right, people. The Bible says here that Christ died for the ungodly. All right? The Apostle Paul, which would run circles around any of those people that think that way, all right, says he had problems in the flesh. What is the deal here, people? Let's go to Galatians. All right. Galatians chapter 5, notice in verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7. Okay? Now, if you're out there listening to this, people, you're in the flesh. All right? You've got a fleshly body. Okay? It's not going away until you die. Okay? Now, but if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit in you. Well, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the flesh. You've got both of them. What does the flesh want to do? The flesh wants to do the things of the world. The flesh wants to sin, all right? The flesh loves to sin, all right? What does the Holy Spirit want to do? The Holy Spirit wants to do that which is of God. It wants to go in His ways and do things which are right and pleasing in His sight. Well, the Bible says here in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. All right? You know, a lot of people, they get up on Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, you need to go on to church. And the Bible says you shouldn't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But the flesh says what? Oh, I'm going to lay here in bed. I don't think I'm going to go to church today. All right? Flesh against the Spirit, okay? They're contrary one to another. Usually the flesh wins if you let it, and if you let it, the Holy Spirit will win, all right? So this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So what we have here is you can be saved, you can have the Holy Spirit in you, all right, and still end up doing fleshly things, okay? Now watch, go to Galatians, all right? It says in verse 19, chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, my point here is I'm trying to show you that most of the things that you do that are sin, all right, are done with your mind, okay? So those people out there that are trusting in themselves, all right, and sure, they might not be smoking a cigarette, they might not be drinking a Budweiser, okay, but what they're thinking, all right, is sinful. Their hatred, their variance, all right, their envyings and all that kind of stuff, that's sin also, all right, and then yet they have the nerve to say, I don't sin, okay? What happens? God says, you're calling God a liar. All right, don't do that, people. Admit you're a sinner. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe in He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary. Now watch. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, during the dispensation of the grace of God, the Apostle Paul, yeah, you know him. He's the guy that had problems in the flesh. Remember Romans chapter 7? Okay. The Apostle Paul tells us how to be saved, all right? And it's very, very simple. Now watch. Romans chapter 10, I want you to notice in verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Question for you. Are you a vain believer? Are you trusting in your works? Okay? People, I know what a vain believer is. Okay? I trusted in my works for a very, very long time. I was brought up and raised to believe in God, believe in Jesus, but you better be good so you can go to heaven. All right? I was taught to rely upon my works, okay? And I trusted in my works till one day I realized that my works could not save me. Now watch, go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I realized that through this scripture here, that I couldn't be saved by my works. My works has nothing to do with my salvation. But yet I was trusting in my works. Okay? But yet I could not be saved by my works. Go to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 4, the Bible says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 5 again at the very top, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Question, are you saved by your works of righteousness? No, you are not. Okay? You're saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for your sins at Calvary. Now, people, I was a vain believer for many, many years, and I realized I couldn't be saved by my works or by trusting in myself. And so one night I realized this, and I got on my couch with tears coming down from my eyes, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me, believing He died and paid for all my sins at Calvary. I quit trusting in all my works. I quit trusting in myself and the things that I have done. And I put my 100% trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that He would save me because of what He did at Calvary. Now watch. Let's go back. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So people, this is how it goes, okay? God sends preachers out there. These preachers, they preach. Some of the people that they preach to, they hear, okay? some of the people that hear actually believe. And then some of the people that believe actually call upon the name of the Lord. Now, people, I don't care how long you've gone to church, okay? I don't care how long you believed in God. The Bible says in the book of James, the devils believe in God and they tremble. Okay, why do they tremble? Because they're going to be in the lake of fire one day. All right, even though they believe in God. You got to have a Savior, people, in order to be saved. There's only one given. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul was in prison. Notice in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. For he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Did Paul say, Keep the commandments? Did he say, get water baptized? Did he say, speak in tongues? No, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And thou shalt be saved. Believe on Him means to put your trust in Him, okay? You can believe in Jesus Christ, or you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Believing in Christ, yeah, you can do that and still be a vain believer. You can believe in Christ and be trusting in something else. Okay? Or you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your trust in Jesus Christ, ask Him to save you, all right, and guess what you'll be? You'll be a true believer. We talked about non-believers. We talked about vain believers. That's people that believe, but they believe in vain, all right? They're trusting in something else, all right? Then we talked about true believers. That's the believers that have put their trust in Jesus Christ, believing He died and paid for all their sins at Calvary. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.